No, thank you. Sleepy. You come back in an hour.
Need sleepy.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
It's now time for the Billy C. Morning Show, part of the Billy C. Boxing Network. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C. Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligero. It's time for the Billy C. Morning Show. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing all right today. Special shout out to all of our Fight TV viewers. Glad to be part of your day, guys and gals and kids, whoever's watching on Fight TV. And if you can't get Fight TV, make sure you get it on your app. That's right. Or not on your app. Make sure you get the app for your handheld. Yeah, even including your phone. Just go to fight.tv. That's F-I. Get it on your app. I'll kick you right in the app. FITE.TV/Billy C. Fight.TV/Billy C. Download the app today for free. And watch our show on your handheld, including your cell phone. And it's much more than that because some big fights this weekend, like the Jack Colque and Demetrius Andrade fight, you can get on Fight TV. That's right. You can get it on Fight TV as a pay-per-view because that does not have any U.S. television here, as far as I know. $19.99, man. Watch a great fight. And trust me, that is going to be a good one right on Fight TV. So go to fight.tv/Billy C. Download the app today and watch the fights this weekend. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant located in beautiful St. Simons Island, Georgia. Check out the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or give my man a call, 912-268-2328, 912-268-2328. And don't forget, if you're heading north or south on I-95, you can check out Sal's Fine Italian Cuisine. It's literally a 15-minute detour off of I-95. Check out the website for the address, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by the Turning Stone Resort and Casino. And their next fight, which is tomorrow night, David Lemieux against Curtis Stevens. What a fight. I can't wait. I'm going to be ringside. I want you to go there too. I was gonna drop an F-bomb, but hey, listen, I want you to go there too. That's right. Get yourself some tickets. There's still some tickets available. Visit our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the fight poster, which is on the right-hand side. Don't forget to tell them Billy C sent you. Today's show is also being brought to us by my book, Tom Molino, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all great books are sold. You can literally get a copy of it right now while you're watching or listening to this show. Just go to barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. If you're looking to get a signed copy, don't worry about it. Visit our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the book club section and make sure you follow the directions. One last thing, if you like sports fantasy games, check out FireFan. You can win some money without putting up any, only if you use our code. Visit our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the banner that says FireFan. Before we get started today, I just want to send our prayers, thoughts, and condolences to all the family and friends and all boxing people. Lou Duva passed away the other day, and we didn't do a show, so we couldn't pay our respects. Lou Duva, 94 years old, big part of boxing and a big part of what we kind of refer to all the time in the 80s. He was at the centerpiece of the sport, so our thoughts, prayers, and condolences go out to the family and friends and boxing fans for Lou Duva. He will be sorely missed, although he hasn't been in the limelight over the past 7 years because of his age. He had a good life, especially in boxing. Coming up a little bit later on the show, we are going to talk about a new tournament that's taken place. It's called the World Boxing Super Series. $50 million on the line. And guess what? We'll get a new title. Yeah, that's what we need, new title. We got some emails to read. We're going to break down and give you our thoughts on David Lemieux versus Curtis Stevens. the fight up at the Turning Stone. So make sure you stick around for that. Hopefully we'll have some time to open up the phone lines and get your thoughts on it. I also want to talk about the great undercard on that card up at Turning Stone. Yoricus Gamboa will be fighting for the first time under the Golden Boy banner. So let's get this party started. Joining me right now from beautiful St. Simons Island, Georgia. And don't forget, we are definitely doing an event in the middle of August. It's going to include a golf outing. It's going to include a boxing exhibition by this guy that I'm going to introduce here in a second, and maybe some others. We'll fill you in on that as time goes by. We're looking to get some other activities, maybe even a boxing event, all of that stuff. So you got to make plans now. Drop me an email, Billy@TalkinBoxing, TalkinBoxing.com, so I can get you on the list. Joining me right now from St. Simons, he's a New Jersey Boxing Hall of Famer. He's a Guinness Book of World Record holder. He's a nice guy, too. Sal Rocky Senicola. What's up, Sal?
Hey, Billy C. I just got back from my four-mile run, getting ready to get in shape again so I can get back in that ring for our exhibition. Maybe you come in a ring with me, Bill.
What, just so you could beat somebody up? I mean,
no, I'm not going to beat you up. In fact, we could have a game. We'll play like tag. Yeah. You could fight safety first.
No, I wouldn't. If I was going to fight, listen, if I was going to fight, and I'll admit, I don't like to get hit just as much as most of the fighters out there today, but if I was going to spar you, I wouldn't. I promise I wouldn't go safety first. I promise.
You know what? I have an idea that you would not either.
Yeah, no, that's just not good. Me. I wouldn't do it, you know. But anyway, what do you think, before we read some emails, and then we'll break down the big fight this weekend. They announced yesterday that there's going to be a new series, and Richard Schaefer and a couple other guys are launching it. I guess the first fight is going to be in over the summer. September is they're going to kick it off. It's called the World Boxing Super Series. The winners are going to receive the Muhammad Ali Trophy. They're going to have a total prize money valued over $50 million. It's going to set up boxers 14 fights on 14 different nights in two weight classes. It's going to feature 16 fighters. It sounds like it's a variation of like the Super 6 tournament, except they're going to be spreading it between two divisions. What's your thoughts?
You know, I'd like to definitely research and learn a little bit more about it before I give my official thought. But on the surface, from what you're telling me right now, the first I'm hearing of it, I think anything that we could possibly try to do to bring boxing back into the living rooms and free boxing for us fans out here, I think it's going to be a catalyst. It's going to be good. And, you know, used to have in the 70s and 80s, you had the ESPN tournaments. You had some round-robin tournaments. You had this one here. You know, you see these fighters go through a gauntlet until there's finally just two. And yeah, I think any kind of highlight showcase for new young talent to come to the forefront, well, it's great for their careers because otherwise they'd be obscure and probably out of the limelight. But there's a good way to have an average fighter show what he's made of that might not get a chance otherwise. So let's see what it could do. I like it. I want to learn more about it. But like I said, anything to give us an exposure, some great talent coming up, it's good.
Let's read some emails because we got a lot of stuff to talk about in terms of the David Lemieux and Curtis Stevens fight, and of course Demetrius Andrade's fighting Jack Colke over in England. Let's get going here. Jesse says, Billy, what's your thoughts on Tim Tebow playing baseball? He looks awful in spring training. Will there ever be another two-sport athlete again, such as Dion Bo and Brian Jordan? First of all, I think there could be another superstar, and the names you mentioned obviously are quality players that were able to excel in multiple sports. But I think the nature of professional sports now doesn't really, it's not conducive to these guys doing it, the grind on the body Seasons now just don't go through their season. They might be live for a football season, let's say, but they're training all year round. It's become a lot more grueling on these athletes physically. So I'm not sure, unless we have a you know, superstar athlete. I mean, when you look at those three names you mentioned, only Deion Sanders had really an extensive career in both. Bo Jackson cut his both of his careers short due to injury. So good question, and I'm not sure. As far as Tim Tebow, yeah, you know, I know a lot of people are pulling for him, but the odds were stacked against him starting so late in baseball. Maybe in hindsight, he should have went that route first. He says, I saw Andre Ward hosting a sports show in the Bay Area. He's interviewing two MMA guys. I guess he's not in a rush to box again. Andre Ward is a huge disappointment. A guy that went from, in my opinion, I almost had to ask my dog for a Heimlich maneuver.
I was wondering if you heard the dog choking on
a cough drop I just inhaled. It's now floating in my lung. Anyway, that was almost pretty serious, let me tell you. I'm glad, it's going to come out of my nose in a minute. But Andre Ward is a disappointment to me. I mean, I had him as the pound-for-pound top boxer when he was active 6 years ago, and his return has been anticlimactic. His fight with Kovalev was impressive, but I felt he lost the fight, and I feel he has to give Sergey Kovalev a rematch, and the fact that he's not just goes to show you that Andre Ward, I spit on him, from the way he's acting now and what he's dissing. He's dissing the sport, and it's unfortunate, so I could care less. Until he gives Kovalev a rematch, I've lost a lot of respect for Andre. He says, I got Andre over Colke, 6-round knockout. He says, Stevens knocking out David Lemieux, and he says Gamboa over Rene Alvarado. Good picks. I don't know if I agree with you. I will get to those in a little bit. He says, what's your thoughts on Luis Nery and Juan Francisco Estrada opponents? Are these legit guys? I don't think Estrada's opponents have fought anybody. Both of these guys are in showcase fights, so I agree with you there. He says, what's your thoughts on Uvies Ulusi Jr.? I'll get a chance to really evaluate him this weekend, so give me a little time on that. I got an email from Dan. He says, hey, Billy C. Now, I guess this is in response to some of my naysaying, Sal, the other day about Top Rank going with a pay-per-view. He says, when a promoter stages an event such as Top Rank with the fight card on April 22nd and no network is interested in broadcasting event, they're left with two options. The first is not to televise the event at all. The second is to offer it as an independent pay-per-view. The advantage of the independent pay-per-view model is it allows fans the option to see in the fight cards they would otherwise never get to see unless they attended it in person. I personally am glad that there's an avenue in which I can see this event and others like it, if I choose to. It's better than the alternative, which is no TV coverage at all. Top Rank used this precise business method to build up Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., who appeared on their independent pay-per-views long before showing up on HBO. Pay-per-views are not the death of boxing. They are just an avenue in which we can get a chance to view what we could otherwise not be able to see. Dan clearly missed my point, Sal. I'm not saying that pay-per-views... I didn't say that the pay-per-views were the death of boxing, and I agree with Dan to a degree that when there's no other option, you should be able to get a pay-per-view. Like Fight TV offers... inexpensive pay-per-views, access to a fight you would otherwise not be able to get. And that's why we urge you to log on and download the app under our name for free, fight.tv/BillyC. But my point the other day was that they are losing ground to the PBC, who's presenting their fights on free TV. That was my point. I was looking at it as a promoter against a promoter, not so much the pay-per-view. aspect of it. I also believe that Top Rank is following the greed factor a little more. And what does that tell you when a television network has no interest in a pay-per-view? If it was a pay-per-view for, secondary audience, like Dan is referring to himself, I don't mean he's a secondary fan, I mean, secondary option, the price should be accordingly. This is going to be billed at a higher-end price, and they're going to try to make it like it's a top pay-per-view model, which we're used to seeing like a Triple G fight or a, Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao-type fight as a pay-per-view. So that was my point. You have anything to add to that, Sal? Because, I agree with Dan. I mean, if you have no other choice, it's better than nothing. But I didn't look at it that way with the Top Rank announcement.
No, and that's just it. You and I, we grew up in an era where it was closed-circuit TV, pay-per-view, if you will, and they were meant for the super fights. Hey, do you remember the titles they were given? The fight of the century. It had that kind of persona where it was a mega, mega fight. And that kind of, well, use the word, significance.
Hey, that's our word.
I stole that from you. Was that plagiarizing?
No. That's good. Well, I appreciate Dan's email, and he makes a good point. If people like him misunderstood me, that wasn't what I was saying. It wasn't the death. And I'll tell you the truth, some of the big fights that were only available on pay-per-view did hurt the sport of boxing for a while. Thank God we're able to see a minutia of fights now,
I like that word.
There you go. Here we got another email. This one's from my man Dave. He says, I come from a small town called... Now, I murder everybody's name, but this is another Wales. Listen, I really just want to give an appreciation shout-out to all of our viewers and listeners that are outside the U.S. because it just seems like, we've always had a strong presence outside the U.S., but it really seems like we're kicking it up a notch, especially in the UK. So I love you guys. And I've always said that, the UK has been carrying boxing on their backs for quite some time. Anyway, sure, my man Dave comes from Carmarthen, which is in Wales. He says, I'm a huge boxing fan, and I follow mostly American fighters. Thurman and Porter, most of the 147-pound fighters. Also, the UK scene, few Welsh fighters. Lee, he's talking about Lee Selby and Andrew Selby. One quick question. What do you think of the talent in the UK? He's saying Kell Brook, Anthony Joshua, now Tony Bellew. Eddie Hearn has some talent for fighters as well as Frank Warren. Dave, you must be a new listener because, like I said, I love the UK fighters, specifically the ones you mentioned. I'm not that high on David Bellew yet, but we'll see how he comes. He just came off the great win over David Haye. But Anthony Joshua, Kell Brook, love these guys. I love the fact that the Brits seem to be, fighting the fights. They have no problem fighting tough fights. They fight each other, something the American fighters fail to do. I think if it wasn't for the large pool of fighters out of the UK and their willingness to fight, I don't think boxing would be on the rise as it seems to be for 2017. What do you think, Sal?
No, I think so, too. I mean, we love the UK fighters. And as you were saying earlier, they don't avoid any fights. They want to jump in the ring with the best out there. And, I mean, that's something that we in America have to learn how to implement again into the mentality and the mindset of these fighters today. And that's what you're doing, challenging yourself, proving you're the best, wanting to get in a ring with the very best, and making sure that you can be the one that ousts your opponent. That's it. But yeah, the UK fighters, I'm telling you, they've always been tough. Going world back, way back, Alan Mittner, this one here, Barry McGuigan. I mean, you got some tough, tough guys over there that have already laid the foundation decades ago, and they keep coming up to the surface. So I think we definitely need to give them an applause and thank them for being on board.
One last email. This is from my man, Willie. He says, I got a question for you. And Sal, the memory man, Oh, that's going to be your new nickname. He says, why is the WBA allowing IBF champion Anthony Joshua to fight number two, Vlad Klitschko, for the vacant title instead of Ortiz, who's ranked number one by the WBA? Doesn't seem right to me. Ortiz seems to be the most passed-by fighter in the heavyweight division, and I'd love to know why. Is it because he's too dangerous and regarded as too much of a risk? In other words, are they scared of him? How can a guy who's ranked number one by the WBA, number two by the WBC, and number eight by the IBF, not be fighting Joshua for the title? And Willie is the greatest. He's self-proclaimed our greatest Welsh fan. Now we got lots of Welsh fans. I wonder who is truly our greatest fan from the UK. You know, you got to remember something, Willie. Ortiz was the interim WBA heavyweight champion, and he gave up that belt. And, you know, I think what happened was most people wanted to see, plus the powers that be, the money involved, Klitschko against Anthony Joshua. But Klitschko wanted to make it worth his while, so not only did he want to fight for Anthony Joshua's title, he wanted to get a shot at the WBA. Now, one other thing I think you forgot is that Tyson Fury had the super heavyweight or heavyweight super title, however you want to say it, for the WBA, and he and Klitschko were supposed to have a rematch to fight for that title. When Tyson Fury was stripped and backed out of the sport, so for at least temporary, as the word on the curb is now, Klitschko seemed to be the odd man out. So the WBA, feeling that Klitschko was the guy that deserved the shot at Tyson Fury with the rematch because it was in the contract, that they actually approved Anthony Joshua. Because if you look and see how the sanctioning bodies work today, a champion in another sanctioning body isn't even ranked. So that's what happened. Ortiz is in the mix to fight the winner of that fight. Because we all know Deontay Wilder is a buck, 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 buck. So he's not fighting anybody. But anyway, let's get to some of these fight cards. Before we break down and give our predictions for the David Lemieux, Curtis Stevens fight, Sal, there's another really good fight this weekend over in Germany. Jack Kolke is going to be putting his WBA junior middleweight title on the line when he faces Demetrius Andre in what is going to be a really good fight. Don't forget, you can get that fight here in the States on Fight TV. So make sure you download the app, fight.tv/BillyC, and watch it. I think it's only $19.99 to watch that fight. And this is a good card, too, so it's definitely worth it. I'm probably going to be watching this while I'm up waiting for the Turning Stone fight to start. I believe this fight's going to be, the card starts airing around 1 o'clock tomorrow. So check it out. Anyway, Jack Kolke, he said on Saturday you're going to see the A-Train at full speed steamrolling Jack Kolke. He says, I beat him as an amateur, and now I'm going to beat him as a pro, referring to Demetrius. He said, this ain't going to be a three-rounder with training gloves on. I'm going to give Jack a reality check. I'm reading the wrong, that's Andre's one. He says, I'm ready for any kind of a check. Let me go back and read it the right way. Demetrius Andre said, on Saturday, you're going to see the full A-Train at full speed steamrolling over Jack Kolke. I beat him as an amateur, and now I'm going to beat him as a pro. This ain't going to be a three-rounder with training gloves on. I'm going to give Jack a reality check on his chin. Now, Jack Kolke, he says, I'm ready for any kind of check Demetrius is going to give me. I've been waiting for this opportunity for almost 10 years. Now, after I beat Andre, the doors will be open for me to make a big splash in the U.S. So these two guys are ready to roll. Any thoughts on this fight? What's your official prediction on this particular fight that's taking place in Germany tomorrow, Sal?
Pain. No, I think, I really think that, I like Andre, and we'll see. It's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a very good fight. And I don't think, they have to really reflect back to their amateur days. But you know what? We'll see. I think Andre is just a good fighter all around, and so is Kolke, and it's going to be a good one. But I'm just going with the Andre.
Well, my official prediction, let me start off by saying this. I think Demetrius Andrade is the best 154-pounder on the planet. So yeah, with that said, I think that he will beat Jack Colquay. You know, I have no disrespect to Colquay, but Andrade will win the fight, and he will win it in spectacular fashion. This is a guy that I still don't understand why he has stayed signed with not one but two promoters. There's a lot of cooks in his kitchen, a lot of hands in his cookie jar. He's given up a lot of money, and both promoters, and Joe DiGuardia, you know, he's a friend. I love the guy personally. He's one of them, and, you know, Banner Promotions. Between the two of them, they've done Ugats. You know what Ugats is, right, Sal? Ugats.
How do I know what Ugats is?
For Demetrius Andrade. And, you know, the best formula for Demetrius at this stage is to just win, baby, like the late, great Al Davis of the Oakland Raiders used to say. So my official prediction is Demetrius Andrade. All right, let's go down and break down the David Lemieux-Curtis Stevens fight. Then we're going to open up the phone lines and get yours. First and foremost, let me start off by saying this. If you're able to get to this fight ringside, there are still tickets available. From what I understand, they opened up the extra section. Every seat at the Turning Stone Arena is a good seat. It's a beautiful place to check out fights. I'm going to be ringside. Get yourself some tickets. Visit our website, billycboxing.com, and click on the fight poster. And then once you get tickets, drop me an email or make sure you find me. You'll be able to find me. I'll be the guy waiting at the scotch table for you to get me a scotch. But no, all kidding aside, we can talk some boxing. I don't even think I'll have any scotches on Saturday, but I will be there. I will be there early. I'll be wandering around the casino, probably wandering past the craps table, and I'll stop by and say hello. Let's chat about some boxing. All right. Not only
I wish I was up there with you, man. I tell you, you are going to be ringside for the fight that man, this is just a great fight. And I love the fact that you're going to be ringside, and I wish I was there with you, pal.
Hey, I tell you, I wish you were there, too. And my only regret, and I swear, even this morning, I was before we came on, I was saying, you know, maybe I should not go and you know, be here for the post-fight show. Because, you know, we've promised to all you guys that we're going to deliver the post-fight shows on a regular basis. And this certainly is going to be a fight that people are going to want to talk about. So you know, I'm kind of torn for that, but you know, the other televised fight on HBO besides David Lemieux is, you know, one of my favorite fighters. I know a lot of people have you know, kind of been turned off by Gamboa, but I love Yoricus Gamboa. I've gotten to see him fight live a couple of times. One time at the Turning Stone, he was a little not that exciting of a fight, but I love this guy. And you know, his record now 25-1, his only loss coming at the hands of who was it? Was it Broner? I think Broner beat him. Was it Broner? Sal, was it Broner? One of these guys, tell me. I forget who beat him. It was either Broner or somebody stopped him, a bigger guy. Somebody in the chat room, remind my aging mind who beat Gamboa. But anyway, I love the fight. He's fighting Alvarado, 24-7, 16 knockouts in the co-main event. Another fight on this card that will be there if you're live is Zach Ochea, 16-0 with 7 knockouts, taking on another undefeated fighter in the lightweight division, UV's Ulisi, who's 12-0 with 8 knockouts. It's going to be for a regional title. Diego De La Hoya will be on that card as well. And a bunch of other fighters. I mean, most of these fights, with the exception of one or two, are all putting... oh, that's right, Terrence Crawford. Thank you, Dax. I knew it could have been on Adrian Broner. Terrence Crawford knocked him out. And that was a great fight. I should have remembered that one. I think I'm starting to age a little bit.
Don't say it.
I'm catching up to you. But Gamboa, his only loss was to Terrence Crawford. But some great fights on this card. But as far as the David Lemieux-Curtis Stevens fight, you know, David Lemieux, he's still young. He's 28-0, former world champion.
28 years old.
Yeah, he's 28 years old. He's 36 wins, 32 coming by knockout. He's got 3 losses in which he was stopped twice. His first loss was kind of a shocker against Marco Antonio Rubio up in his hometown in Canada. He got stopped on ESPN. in 2011. And then he followed that with a majority decision loss against Joanne Alsine, also in Canada. Then he kind of righted the ship a little bit, took 6 months off, and he's been on a tear, including winning IBF World Middleweight title against Haseem Nadam when it was vacated. He had a big win over Gabe Rosado in 2014. And then he kind of got set up after doing so well. He was kind of in a position to fight the guy no one else wants to fight, Triple G, and got stopped in 2015. Now, he followed that up with two more wins. Glenn Tapia, he stopped in his first fight after the Triple G loss in May of last year. And then he fought again in October when he had a 10-round decision over Christian Fabian Rios. He's 28 years old, 5'9.5". Like I said, 36 wins with three losses. He's got an 82% knockout ratio. Now, he steps in the ring with a guy that's 2.5 inches shorter than him at 5'7", and Curtis Stevens. He's also older. Stevens is 32 years old. Stevens is no slouch either. 29 wins, 21 coming by knockout with five losses. He, too, challenged and lost to Triple G in 2013. He's coming off three wins out of his four fights. Now, he lost to Haseem Nadam, same guy that Lemieux won the title from, but he had a big win, quick win over Patrick Teixeira in 2016, in May of last year, and another big win was his last fight against James De La Rosa in Vegas in November. Curtis Stevens changed trainers, which I thought was his best move. He used to work with one of the worst trainers, in my opinion, out of the Bronx. I won't bash his name too much, but I'll give you his initials, Andre Rozier. But anyway, how I think this fight's going to go is I think that this fight is going to be pretty competitive. You could bet money on one thing on this fight. That these guys are not going to be playing
safety. They're not going to have their hand raised by decision.
Right. It's not going to be a safety-first approach.
No.
You know, they both may start off trying to be smart and box. Both say they have better boxing ability than the other. But at the end of the day, this fight's going to boil down to a rock'em sock'em in a phone booth kind of a fight. Both fighters have knockout power. I do believe that Curtis Stevens has a stronger chin than David Lemieux, but I think David Lemieux has a lot to prove. I think that this fight would catapult the winner of this fight right back into the middleweight mix. Now, I don't know if that's good news or bad, because the winner of this fight might get an opportunity to fight the winner of next week's huge fight, which I just can't wait for, Triple G against Daniel Jacobs. So the significance on this fight is great. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you can, get up there. Stay tonight. Go to Turning Stone. Watch this fight live. There's nothing like seeing a fight live. And this one is going to be exciting. My official prediction is David Lemieux. I think David Lemieux is going to win this fight. I think he's going to win by stoppage. Curtis Stevens still has not broke that stupid habit of his by tapping his toe before he throws a punch. David Lemieux is going to come in. He's going to try to make quick work of Curtis Stevens. We're going to have some excitement. Some leather will be tossed in this fight from beginning to end. My official pick is David Lemieux. How do you see it, Sal?
You know, you probably just gave me the whole picture that I will actually be seeing tomorrow night, that I feel the same thing. I like both fighters. I love, you know, I always, myself being a shorter fighter, I see sometimes that advantage. You're more agile, you can slip, you're punching up, you got the momentum. So Stevens has that opportunity. I've seen Stevens in the past. Sometimes his hands, they don't fly as they should. And the combinations aren't flowing as they should. And he goes in and out of a fight. But I think he's going to bring his A game to it tomorrow night. And I think he's going to be looking to tear Lemieux's head off. And with that, he's got to be careful. And he's going to be vulnerable and open to some counter shots. Dave Lemieux, I think, is the better boxer as far as his movement, as far as his ability. And I think he's a powerful puncher. I think Stevens' chin is a little better than Lemieux, but I do see this fight going to be a good heavy exchange and war, but Lemieux in the end, I think, will become the victor, and he will do it by stopping Curtis Stevens. And, you know, we look at the possibility of fighting again Triple G. Both these guys lost to Triple G, and, you know, the buzz is now, too, that I think probably a great fight would be the winner of this fight fighting Canelo Alvarez.
You know,
that's a great, that'd be a great fight.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if Curtis Alvarez will do it. I mean, Canelo Alvarez will do it.
You know, I'm telling you right now that, and jumping off topic here, I think that, as a matter of fact, let's open up the phone lines. What's your thoughts on Curtis Stevens against David Lemieux? 845-228-8710. I think Canelo Alvarez is really going to be in a tough fight against Chavez Jr. I'm telling you.
I think he is. And maybe what I should say is that maybe the winner of this fight will fight the winner of that fight.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Listen, you know, all indicators show that Alvarez should win that fight. And, you know, but we'll see. But remember, that fight is a... that fight's a super middleweight fight, but
I know.
We got somebody on the line. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey guys, it's Joe. How are you?
Hey Joe, I didn't recognize the number. How you doing, brother?
Doing well. You know, I just heard what you said. I think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be a decision. I think I agree with you. A Lemieux by decision. I mean, they're both powerful punchers, but they both have pretty good chins. I mean. I wonder how Curtis Stevens' hand is when he broke his hand against James De La Rosa on the Kovalev Ward undercard. So I wonder. I mean, I know it's technically healed before he goes into the ring, but I wonder if it'll be up to the challenge of that fight, because there's going to be a lot of power punches being thrown tomorrow night.
Yeah, no, there's definitely going to be a lot of power punches thrown, and. Listen, Curtis Stevens is no slouch fighter. I mean, he's not easy, but I just think that, I think at the end of the day, truthfully, their abilities are pretty equal. Their abilities are pretty equal. I just think that David Lemieux is going to come out on top. That's my prediction, but interesting that you say it goes the distance. In order for it to go the distance, I think both fighters are going to have to try to employ, or at least one of the two are going to have to employ, some kind of a boxing approach. And
yep.
I just don't think either one of them will do that. I don't think either one of them will. I think they both are going to do what they do best. And like I said in the beginning, Joel, they may start out trying to box, but they're going to always revert right back to what they do best. It's an automatic switch, you know. Now, real quick, before we let you go, because we got some other people trying to call, I know you're interested in the Andre Jack Colquay fight. Who do you like in that one?
I love Jack Colquay. I've been a fan of his for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now, but yeah, I think Andrade by back said he's going to roll through him. I agree. I think within 6 rounds, he'll... So, you know, it's going to be bad. And I mean, you know what I got to say, Billy, is I looked on Fight TV, and, you know, they're starting that, actually, I don't know if you were talking about this, I heard you say something at 1 o'clock, they're actually starting, if that's what you were talking about, they're actually starting that broadcast on Fight TV at 11. I'm kind of contemplating ordering that, because what I would assume is that if it's 11 a.m. our time, they're probably showing every fight, and that's
every
what
fight.
I like to see, the
whole card.
You know, the rookies, the,
Yeah. No, they're showing the whole card. I'm telling you. Download the app. Go to fight.tv/BillyC.
I have it. Yep. I have it on my phone already. I'm looking forward to that. Leon Bauer's on that card. I just want to, before you let me go, just want to ask you, are you going to be at Turning Stone for the first fight, or is your schedule a little, you got to get there a little later? What's your timing for that?
I love the undercard. I think the undercard is great. I'll be there early. I'll be eating and drinking, and I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there for the whole card. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be watching. I thought I saw that it started at 1, but you know what? Maybe the co-main event starts at 1, but the broadcast and everything starts at 11. That's good news for me. I'll be watching it as soon as I get up there. I'm talking about the Colquay-Andre fight. I'll be watching on fight.tv.
But I also heard that since you just said that there were a couple tickets left and that you would be at the Turning Stone, I think all those tickets are gone now because you're there. You're bigger than the boxes.
The only draw I could do is stick draw. I could stick draw people, you know. I mean, even that. I play a mean game of hangman, too. So, but anyway. If you got time and you guys are in the area, come on up. I'll definitely be there. But Joel, definitely, you know, you have a history of getting not so great pay per views. I think for $19 or whatever they're charging on Fight TV, it'll be worth it. This is a good card.
Yeah, I think I might do it. I just might do it.
Sounds good, my man. Joel, have a great
weekend.
All right,
guys, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you guys next week. Sal, be well, my friend.
You too, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Joel is a great great fan. We love Joel. And see, he's telling you, 11 a.m., fight.tv/BillyC. Download the app today. Phone line is open. I know a bunch of you were trying to call in. We're going to take one caller at a time, 845-228-8710. Great fight. And he makes an interesting point. I'd be a little surprised if Stevens and Lemieux goes the distance, Sal.
No, I would be surprised, too. I mean, you guys, I mean, just look at this contest. I mean, you have two fighters that have gloves, heavy hands, and they want to end the fight early. And I think that, you know, it's going to come down to who's got the defense and the better chin that night.
Yeah, no doubt. Joining us right now, we got Dax Khan. What's your thoughts on the fight, brother?
This is on paper, it seems like an exciting fight. But I actually think that David Lemieux is going to step up and he's going to look sensational in this fight.
Yeah, you know, I think he has to, don't you think, Dax?
Well, yes, if he wants to get back into the mix. You know, he's only one sensational win from getting back into the mix. If you take away Triple G, or, you know, should we say the winner of Triple G and Daniel Jacobs, you know, after that, you know, the division's, you know, pretty much open, and I really see David Lemieux capable of beating anybody else in the division. I even think maybe, depending on what version of Danny Jacobs goes in, David Lemieux can beat him. You know, when David Lemieux comes out in that come-forward style of his, you know, he's increased his head movement so much over the years. The only downfall on him has always been his stamina, but, you know, for those first 7 or 8 rounds, David Lemieux is dangerous, you know. Triple G, that is why we've seen a whole different version of Triple G in the David Lemieux fight, and we've seen him implore that jab because, you know, Triple G and Abel Sanchez realized, you know what, this isn't a guy you can just sit here and, you know, go at it, you know, for 6 rounds until this guy runs out of gas. He's something dangerous, and Curtis Stevens, while I like him, he still has gas left in his tank by all means. He's a slow starter. He's a little more calculated. He has some pop, but Lemieux has a decent chin, better than average. So that's why I have to go with Lemieux on this. And as you stated, I think Lemieux is one fight away from being right back into that mix. He knows it, and a sensational win is what's going to get him there.
You know, I think you just bring up a really good point, Dax, about the gas tanks of both these guys.
Yes.
They've both been known to run on fumes towards the end of the fight. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, if the fight does go into rounds and into the later rounds, who's got the fuel in the tank? You know, the fight that sticks, Curtis Stevens, you know, the one thing that bothers me about him is that habit he's developed with the tapping of the toe. But the other thing is,
I knew you were going to bring that up.
I can't stand it. I it's going to happen. I'm going to be there ringside looking at his feet. You know, I mean, I'm going to have to get something to kick my chin
up. I'm going to be texting him what happened.
Yeah, I'm going to say, well, he was wearing this color shoes and this color laces. You know, I didn't see the fight, though. You know, but, you know, the fight that sticks in my mind with Curtis Stevens is the Johnson fight, the Torino Johnson. I mean, Torino Johnson was on the cusp of being the guy that we would be talking about now, should he have not, you know, been stopped at the last round or second to last round of that fight. You know, it was a great performance by Johnson. He battered Stevens, and Stevens came up with the win. But, I think this is a very significant fight for the middleweight division, and it gives both of these guys a chance to get right back in the mix. And I like your point about, you know, Daniel Jacobs, win, lose, or draw against Triple G, fighting Lemieux or even Curtis Stevens. That would be a good fight. Hey, listen, I give Daniel Jacobs all the props in the world right now. I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of his, but now, just because he's fighting Triple G, whether he wins or loses or they end up with some draw, I'm a fan of Daniel Jacobs because he's one of the few guys that are stepping up. He's one of the few guys that are stepping up, you know, in this sport.
Mentioning stamina, well, just back to Lemieux and Stevenson real quick, is that if David Lemieux hurts you, you stay hurt, okay? You don't get off the hook, and I can see it happening a lot like happened with Stevens and Triple G, where, you know, once Stevens gets hurt by Lemieux, he stays hurt, and I actually can see David Lemieux stopping him maybe a little quicker than Triple G did, because David Lemieux, when he comes at you, he comes at you. He's a machine in there, but he is also, his stamina's gotten a lot better. We'll take the Hassan Endam fight, where David Lemieux went the distance with him. He paced himself, he slowed himself down, and so, you know, I think he's learned a little bit, you know, when to fight and when not to fight. In his last fight, he had actually gone the distance as well, when he could have scored a stoppage, but, he paced himself, and he chose, you know, when to turn it up and when not to. And as far as Curtis Stevens goes, he's a good boxer, but I really don't think he's as good of a boxer as Dave Lemieux, and he's not as hard of a puncher. Back to Triple G and Daniel Jacobs. I was talking the other day, you know, when's the last time either one of them, other than, I believe, Triple G with the Martin Murray fight, neither one of them is going past, you know, 7-8 rounds in I don't know how long. And even in the Martin Murray fight, when Triple G went that far, he was kind of tired then.
He was sick, wasn't he? Wasn't that the fight that he was...
Yeah, he was sick, he was running, but you know what? You know, you get two guys in there that have that type of power, and if they're both standing after the 7th or 8th round, that could be a very slow fight.
Yeah, no, well, hey, listen, we'll be talking all next week on that fight. It can't get here quick enough. But what's your official prediction on the fight? I know you were leaning towards Lemieux. Did you give us an official prediction
yet? Yeah, David Lemieux is going to win that. Absolutely.
How about the Demetrius?
Exciting, but David Lemieux is going to win.
Just before we let you go, Demetrius Andre, Jack Holke, another fight. You're going to watch it on Fight TV?
Yes, of course. You know, Andre is going to steamroll over him. Demetrius Andre, and I said this for quite some time, if he had signed with a better promoter, Demetrius Andre would be king of that division. I don't know if maybe the lack of activity has slowed him down a little bit. We won't know until, you know, we see him in a couple, a string of fights, 2-3 fights in a row. You know, the layoffs can get the guys, even though he's only 29, he has no miles on him. But in my question, you know, with his side, his power, his speed, he'd beat Charlo. He'd beat either Charlo brother. I believe he'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I believe he'd beat Arislandi Lara. You know, he's a complete fighter, probably the most complete fighter in that division right now.
I agree 100%. I think he's the best junior middleweight out there. And, you know, I think that, you know, he's made a poor decision going with Banner and Starr. And I think that you hit it on the head. It's hindered his career, and hopefully, you know, a big win here might just And what bothers me is everything that he's accomplished has been on his own back. You know, these guys really haven't done anything, especially Banner. I mean, if you want to give somebody credit, Star Boxing did more for him than Banner. Banner just happened to have been part of the deal when Andre beat Banner's fighter, and then they became. You know, he got married to Banner, you know, so
it's and that's not the first. He's not the first guy that fell victim to that.
No,
that
I know.
Either.
Hey, listen, enjoy the fights, and I'll be looking to chat with you and about both fights. I'm especially the Andre Coque fight that we'll be watching on Fight TV.
Absolutely. One last thing, you know, this weekend we have a whole new crop of talent coming in. You know, over in Ireland, there's a great card with all the those young amateurs that are coming up, Jamie Conlon, Conchie, and Patty Barnes. And tonight, of course, we have Clarissa Shields against Sylvia Zabatos for the NABF female middleweight title. How much do they really have faith in Clarissa Shields and what Clarissa is going to do for the future? This fight is for the vacant NABF female middleweight title. That title's only been used one other time, and that was against Christy Martin when she faced off Valerie Mafood. So what does that tell you right there? Christy Martin, you know, in her day was women's boxing. She made a lot of money. She brought a lot of attention. So in my opinion, they're really banking on Clarissa Shields, you know, to bring female boxing up to the forefront. And the fact that she's headlining on Showtime tells a big story.
Yeah, it certainly does. Dax, we'll be looking for you again next week, brother, Monday.
All right, everybody, enjoy your fights.
Dax, take care, buddy.
Brings up some interesting points, for sure. You know,
he does.
You know, phone line is open. We'll try and take one more caller, 845-228-8710. You know, just to go back, Sal, when Joel was saying that he thought that the fight might go the distance, you know, as a fighter, especially a fighter that fought your style, similar to both of these guys, you know, you like to take your guy out. You're an in-fighter. Even if your game plan was to try to outbox your opponent, even if you I know it wasn't your style, but even if, you know, you and your team came up with, you know, the game plan to you know, try to outbox your opponent, get him into the later rounds, et cetera, after you get popped a couple of times, don't you kind of automatically go into what you do best? I mean, don't you kind of, you know what I'm saying? Don't you kind of, like,
you know,
revert
my
into...
Is this, and you're right. If you get popped a couple of times and you're getting hit, you're in the same range and distance where you could hit back. And that's where you get in the phone booth, or, if you will, just inside fighting, and you do it. I mean, you could always step away and outbox and try to move and hit from the outside, and you could change it up. I think what you're saying is, does one's instincts take over in a time of trouble or trauma? I think basically, yes, they do, but I think for the most part, if they're hurt, that's what will happen. They'll be reflective and just try to protect themselves and cover up but hit back hard.
Yeah, they go. You go into auto mode. You go. Hold that thought for a second. We got someone else on the line. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Bill. Alex from Tampa.
Alex, what's up, my man? What's your thoughts on the fight?
Well, I actually think this is a really fun. This should be a pretty fun fight for casual fans. I don't think either guy necessarily has good boxing ability. I mean, actually, I know you thought Lemieux maybe had more of the boxing skills, but, I mean, when he fought GGG, I mean, the guy, he just was all over the place. Like, I didn't feel like he had a really good jab, and, you know, GGG just made him look really bad. So looking at this fight, just for me personally, I think this would, it's probably going to end within six rounds. I'm probably going to lean towards David Lemieux, being that he's a younger fighter, and I haven't seen Curtis Stevens in the ring in a long time. I'm pretty sure Lemieux is probably going to knock him out probably within six rounds. But I mean, it'll be a good fight as long as it lasts.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely be a good fight. Hey, you know, I'm glad you're calling in. Usually, I didn't think you got up early in the morning, brother.
I have a week of vacation, so I'm actually off. So I woke up today, and normally I kind of listen on my way to work, but yeah, I actually got up today early, and I didn't even brush my teeth yet. Just woke up and saw that you were on.
No, that's cool. Hey, we're trying to get some other callers in, so let me just ask you one other question, Alex, before we let you go. Demetrius Andrade against Jack Colquhoun. What's your thoughts on this one?
I mean, to me, Andrade was the top of the class, of the 154-pound class. I mean, I believe he had this belt before. I know he had two of the belts at one point. No, I think he had the belt that Canelo had.
I know he had the WBO belt. I know he had the WBO belt at one point.
But I don't think Cole, Colquhoun is talking about trying to avenge his amateur loss. I mean, I was just looking at the head-to-head, man. Andrade is just so much bigger than him. Andrade is way more talented than him. I mean, the fact that Andrade is even going to Germany just tells you what it is. And it's a shame that LaGuardia and start boxing. Like, I mean, I understand that Koke is a champion, so maybe you would have had to go to Germany anyway, but I don't know. I just don't know where AJ's career is going. He, I mean, to have a talent like that, he shouldn't be with that group of people. Or they need to get their act together and, you know, get a talent like that for great fights. But he's just been on the shelf way too long. This guy is 29 years old, and with that talent, like, he should have been progressing a lot longer than, or a lot further, rather, than what he's already doing at this point. But I just wanted to, one little thing I wanted to bring up, I know we don't talk about, I know every now and then, I know you plug female boxing a lot, and I'm glad to see that, the two-time Olympian is going to be on, Clarissa Shields is going to be on Showtime, coming up soon. But I would like to see you talk about the best female fighter of all time, Lucille Riker, sometime. I think that would be a good plug.
You know, when I met her in person, she's the sweetest thing. As vicious as she was in the ring, you know, Lucille Riker outside the ring is the sweetest thing you ever want to meet. I mean, she is the nicest person. You know, I was very into female boxing when I had Chevelle Hallback. When I worked with her, we won several titles together in different weight classes. And, the division back then, Lucille Riker era, they fought each other. They fought the big fights. They started drifting away. I mean, a lot of these good female fighters out there today are doing what the men do, you know, cherry picking and stuff like that. Hopefully, Clarissa Shields can change it. You got Tatey Keller on the other side of the pond. You know, she seems to be making a splash. So, you know, if these two types of fighters, women fighters, can start stepping it up and fighting real fights early on, like female boxing used to do, maybe it does give it the female boxing a shot in the arm. I'm hanging tight. If you notice, Dax does a lot of the reporting on the female side. I'm kind of laying low with it. I think Clarissa Shields' performance tonight will drive me. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Taylor, that Irish girl. Oh my God, I saw her debut, and then I think she was fighting some Polish fighter, and then she just recently fought on the other card like 2 weeks ago, man.
No, she didn't fight. Yeah, I think she fought on the David Hay undercard.
Last week. Yeah, so she's. I didn't see that fight. I just saw. I saw a little bit of the highlights afterwards. But her debut, man, I was like, for a debut, like, she is quite a talent. I was just like, man, like, this girl should have gone. Or this woman, she should have gone pro a long time ago. And that's one thing I do like about. I don't know, man. The UK fight scene is just. I don't know, like, they're just the best fight fans in the world, and I think that's part of, because they more or less created boxing, the form of boxing we know today, but their fans are just going crazy. Like, they go out and watch these fighters who only have one or two fights, and it's just crazy, and the fanfare is out of control. Like, we don't really have the same type of fight fans here. I mean, our fans are just way more chilled, but their fight fans, they're... There's a lot more blue-collar, working class, and I think that really drives the sport. As opposed to here, we have more like a middle-class type fight fans that really go to the shows. That's just one thing I've noticed, the difference between here in the States and over in the UK. But, man, I would love to go to a fight out there. Just a little club show, man.
Oh,
would be off the chain.
Me too. As a matter of fact, we're going to try and take another caller, Alex, and I'm going to comment on that right now as we let you go. But enjoy the fights, and make sure you check out the Koke-Andre fight on Fight TV. It starts at 11 a.m. tomorrow, so it'll get your day going.
You have a good one, and have a good weekend too, Sal.
Oh, thank you. You too, buddy, and we'll look forward to some good fights coming up this weekend.
All right, Alex, take care, brother.
Take care.
Thank you, know, he makes a great point, Sal, because the truth of the matter is the UK fans, and he's right. I have never been to a fight in the UK. I've never been to the UK, and I've always felt that even if we did our show, this show, in the UK, even for a couple of days a week, I think that the fans would love it, but I think I would love it more. The difference between the UK fans, and Alex from Tampa made a great point, the difference between the UK fans actually fans in Europe specifically compared to the U.S. is simple, and I've said this many times. They go to the fights. When you see these the audience, when they pan the audience, first of all, these arenas are packed. All right. The second thing is it's a diversified crowd. You got young people, old people, men, women, children, all different types of people, and they're having fun. You know, they're partying, they're drinking, they're enjoying it. Not that you need to, but enjoying themselves. And it's an event. They cheer. They're boisterous. That's what's different with the United States fans. You know, Floyd Mayweather, you know, the biggest guy in terms of gross money and everything, he barely sells out the MGM, 15,000 people. The UK, you know, they're selling out these arenas, 50,000, people in these arenas, Floyd Mayweather, 15,000. But what we do here in the States is we sit home and watch it on TV. That's the big difference between the UK and the US. And the other thing is you don't see as much of a diversified crowd in the U.S. What do you think?
No, that's just it. I mean, you have the enthusiasm. These guys get up for the fights. They come out, and they might as well be in a fight. You know, they are that emotional about their guy that they come and support. We tend to be here, too, but I think it's a little bit more festive. They make it more like an event that's an occasion to celebrate, and it is to that degree.
Yeah, no, I mean they make it a night out, but
they do.
To finish the thought that I asked you before,
yes.
Doesn't a fighter, when the going gets tough, when the fight, and when I said, after a fight it takes a couple of shots, that plan kind of goes out the window. It's not that the plan forcefully goes out the window, but don't you just shift into auto mode and you do what just comes naturally? And if you're a guy that likes to, fight in a phone booth, that's what you revert doing. I mean, I've seen it many, many times where you get a fighter trying to, go to a new thing that they learned in the gym, and all of a sudden maybe they get dropped, maybe something happens, and bam, next thing the guy is right back to what he's been doing so long. The key to success, at least in my opinion, Sal, is to do things automatically, not to have to think about doing stuff. I mean, how many times do we talk after a fight and we say, it looked like the guy was thinking too much in there. Before he let his hands go, he thinks, do I got to do this? I got to keep my hand up. I got to get around his punch. I got to do this. Versus a guy that just is doing things automatically. What's your thoughts?
Well, you just hit on some real good points. A fighter, he's got to drill, he's got to learn, he's got to, if he's looking to change his style or learn something, it's got to become innate. It can't be something you think about. I mean, maybe at first you do, but it becomes part of your arsenal. So you do own it. But yeah, when push comes to shove and you're going to get hit in the head with a bat, you're going to fight. And you do what you can to survive, and you're going to throw punches. You're going to try to protect yourself, but the bottom line is you're gonna kind of go back and do what you know you can do, and with the clarity, it's everybody's different, Bill. Everybody's different, but I think for the most part, what you're saying is, yeah, you could learn how to do a different style or implement some different strategy, but you do also have at your core level fused into you what you know to do or how to do it the best. And that's usually where we all wind up.
Yeah, no, that's what I think. It just happens automatically. So, hey, like I keep telling you guys, if you're wondering what to do this weekend, don't forget, come on up to the Turning Stone. It's going to be a great fight card. They are broadcasting it on HBO, but there's nothing like watching a fight, especially of this magnitude. David Lemieux against Curtis Stevens, and Gamboa returns to the ring under the Golden Boy banner for the first time, and a really good undercard. Check it out. Come and get some tickets. There are still some seats available, from what I understand, but you got to order them now. You can get right to the ticket box office by visiting our website, billycboxing.com, and click on the fight poster. You won't regret it. Trust me. It's a great place. It is. It's really good. And for everybody looking to get their Boxing Saturday started, Make sure you download the Fight TV app. Go to fight.tv. That's FITE.TV/Billy C. Download the app, and then you get to watch the Koke Andrade fight live from Germany. And I think they're only charging $20, $19.99, from what I understand, which is a steal. On this day, March 10th in 1972, Peppermint Patty flips Charlie Brown when he goes to kick the field goal, like he always does. I love that.
That poor bastard. He never got that.
I don't know if you ever saw the. What was it? The Family Guy episode when he was doing the roundhouse kicks to everybody, and he takes Peppermint Patty, and no, actually it wasn't Peppermint Patty. That's Lucy that was doing that with Charlie Brown, right?
You know, I don't know. It was probably Lucy, because Lucy was like that kind of neighborhood antagonist.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it was Lucy.
She was always in a mix.
The one where she, every time he would go to kick the ball, she'd move the ball.
She lifted it up.
So
she teased the guy.
Oh, yeah.
She'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. Hey, you want to see me do something? Watch this.
Yeah, but then the Family Guy episode where, you know, he's kicking everybody all during the episode, and finally he gets Lucy and Charlie Brown, and he's kicking the hell out of Lucy, and he goes, go ahead, Charlie, kick the ball. It was funny. It's a real good one. Anyway, on this day, March 10th, see where my mind is? I'm a cartoon guy, you know. This day, March 10th, 1972, Peppermint Frazier wins a 15-round decision over Nicolino Loche to win the WBA junior welterweight title. Took place in Panama City. On this day in 1944, Sal Bartolo wins a 15-round decision over Phil Terranova to win the NBA World Featherweight title, and that took place in Boston. On this day, in 1990, Yul Woo Lee wins a 12, not to be confused with Woolly, but Yul Woo Lee wins a 12-round decision over Jesus Rojas to win the WBA Flyweight title. That took place in Korea. On this day, in 1990, Welcome Nikita wins a 12-round decision over Fabrice Benaclan to win the IBF Junior Featherweight title. That took place in Tel Aviv. On this day in 1989, Fabrice Benachoy wins a 12-round decision over Jose Sanabria to win the IBF Junior Featherweight title. That took place in France. And that's what took place on this day, March 10th, in boxing history. Sal, any final thoughts before we go into this weekend? And I tell you, I do feel terrible that we're not doing a post-fight show, but don't worry about it. We're going to be doing an extended post-fight show next week after the Triple G and Daniel Jacobs fight. I wish I was going to be doing this post-fight show down there with you next week.
Me too. I mean, we could possibly do that. Cop on a plane, fly down, and we'll talk about that.
Well, you better, if that's going to happen, you better hurry up. But anyway, what's your final thoughts?
Let me tell you something. I liked David Lemieux for a long time now. I see in him a fighter that is not only a good boxer, but has a good pop. He's not afraid to trade punches. He's not afraid of getting hit. And you know what? He was going to ring with Triple G. I thought he, early rounds there, I think, what would the fight last, about 7 rounds? But I think he does definitely have the ability to come out and look like a star after this weekend. Stevens is a tough, tough guy. You can't discount him. He's a little more compact. He's punching. He's got the ability to catch Lemieux with those overhand rights and hurt him. Whether he can get through Lemieux's defense and punches, I don't know. I see David Lemieux stopping Curtis Stevens by the 8th round, and we're going to go from there. I think Lemieux knows this is his chance to shine again, and there's going to be a lot of big opportunities coming ahead for Lemieux if he does win this fight in a convincing fashion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that Lemieux will win this fight, but I do think it's going to be it's going to be a very entertaining fight. So
very entertaining fight.
Everybody enjoy the David Lemieux Curtis Stevens fight and the rest of the fights on that they show on HBO, especially the ones that if you're going to be there ringside with me, or any place in the arena, I'm saying. If you're going to be there live, you're going to enjoy a great card. But I urge everyone to get the Demetrius Andre Jack Colquay fight, and then you can get it pretty inexpensively right through Fight TV. Just go to fight.tv/BillyC, download the app, and get the fight. I thought it started at 1 p.m., but our main man Joel indicated that they are advertising that the broadcast starts at 11 a.m., so you can kick off Saturday with a full day and night of boxing. So, and don't forget to watch Clarissa Shields tonight. We'll be talking about that and all the rest of the fights on Monday. So I'll leave you with this. Make sure you tune in Monday morning. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da na 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 na